Welcome to the Becoming a Streamer podcast by Pipeline, where we sit down with your favorite streamers and learn more about their journey and how they got to where they're at today. I'm your host, co-founder of Pipeline, StoneMount64, and today we're joined by Yusuf FPS, full-time streamer over on Facebook, less than a year in, and he is absolutely dominating. Over 165,000 followers. He wasn't even on the platform before he started streaming. But his journey does not begin there. While it does with streaming, he has a die-hard work ethic and does not make excuses. He began by playing competitively, and it's been a fantastic way for him to really focus and differentiate on what he's doing. You can find him at facebook.com/YusufFPS. That's YousifFPS. And if you enjoy this podcast, please share it with somebody who would also enjoy it. You can also find out more about us and Pipeline at pipeline.gg to learn more about streaming. Without further ado, though, enjoy the show. Sweet Yusuf, thanks so much for joining in on the Becoming a Streamer podcast today. Appreciate you joining in.
No problem.
I'm really excited. Before we get too deep in everything, I always like to tell people, you know, give us a little top down of where you're at right now with your content, games you're playing, platform you're on, and if somebody was just to go to your channel right now.
Yeah, so mainly right now I'm focused on Facebook gaming. I've been on the platform for roughly 7 months, and so far it's been the most successful platform for me for streamer growth. Content creation is great. Community is engaging. It's great. What I'm focused on right now is Warzone. I will be transitioning to Cold War when it comes out, which should be on the October 15th is the beta for that. So that should be fun. But yeah, that's what I'm focused on content-wise. It's mainly Warzone for now. I did come back from Apex. I don't think I'll go back to that game, but...
Yeah, so you haven't been sprinkling that in, or like, do you ever play any other games as you're going, or ending on games, or like, or is it just 100%? I mean, I know you're an extremely good Warzone player, so you know.
Yeah, so right now my main focus is Warzone, but when I did play Among Us a couple times, I actually remember, fun fact, I played it the first time with Rasta and a few other content creators on Facebook. And I looked away for a second, and I was the imposter, right? When I came back, I did not know that. So you know how there's vents in Among Us?
Yeah.
Right? So it was my first game on, so I'm like, holy guys, there's like a vent right here you could go into. And I got caught because of it. So I guess that's why I focus on Warzone so much.
Yeah, sticking to Warzone for now.
Sure, yep, that's it.
Before you got into even creating content or streaming or doing anything in the first place, was Call of Duty, you know, was that a game that you were playing a lot? Were you into gaming? Like, what were you doing before you got into content creation, just in general as well?
Before content creation, I played professionally for Team Secret in Apex Legends. So that's kind of where my background comes from. I'm very competitive. I like to play games at a very, very high level. But slowly after, our team kind of just split apart, and we had to focus on our own things. For me, I didn't know if Apex was still the right path for me. Warzone just came out and it was hyped up. So I decided to take, you know, all my attention, all my focus towards Warzone because I have a lot of BR experience.
Yeah.
So me coming into Warzone, I kind of have an advantage with content creation over some others because of my skill set and my competitiveness. And I think that's what kind of helped me build the fan base that I have. It's because I have something that not everybody could do, right? Sure. It's hard to get to. And it's just, you know, especially when people come at you and say, hacker this, hacker that, wall this, wall that. It's like, what?
Yeah. That's 100% a very unique thing playing professionally for any team, really. Like, how did you get into playing professionally, like get onto that team, especially if you weren't creating content? Like, was that doing tournaments? What was your route to getting involved in that?
Let me take you back from where I started.
Yeah.
Back when I first got into video games. I got into video games 10 years ago, back when I was 10. And the reason I got into it is because my dad actually, he had CS 1.6 installed. He's like, Yusuf, check this out. This was like 10 years ago. I still remember. It was like, it was on a laptop and it was so laggy, but I enjoyed the game because it was like a first person shooter. It was one of the first of its kind, you know?
Yeah. It's
so new. And I played that for a bit. You know, that's when I first got introduced into video games on PC.
Yeah.
Slowly after, my dad actually bought an iMac. And that's when I actually started focusing more onto gaming. I started playing Paladins. And Paladins was also competitive.
Yeah.
And that's how my competitive Yusuf came out. It's because of that game. It had that competitive queue. You know, I saw tournaments. I didn't even know those existed. Didn't know esports even existed. And slowly after, from Paladins, I transitioned over to PUBG. Yeah, it was PUBG. Played that for a bit, built up some VR experience. That was actually my first ever Battle Royale. So I played that for a bit. And from PUBG, I started playing Islands of Nine, which was another Battle Royale.
Yeah.
It wasn't as successful.
Yeah, that one was going for a focus kind of more competitive, right? Like that was,
yeah,
that was like some of the hype around it. It was like, this is going to be a competitive Battle Royale.
Yeah, Shroud pointed it as like the CSGO of Battle Royales.
Mm-hmm.
Because of how like the tick rate was and how smooth it was. But I mean, no matter how good your game is, if you don't have a successful team backing it, you know, it can't really go that far. Yeah. But slowly after Islands of Nine, I transitioned into Blackout. And that was another BR that I played after that too. And then after Blackout, I started playing. But throughout this whole process, I was playing on iMac. That was all throughout like an iMac. That was like at 40 FPS. That wasn't even like console 60 FPS. Right? So that just goes to show that no matter what system you're on, if you're focused on just self-growth throughout video games, and it's crazy to say that to some people because some people don't think that you could improve in video games. Right? I see that a lot.
Yeah.
Right? But honestly, no matter what system you have, you can't just have excuses and say, oh, I can't get to this. I can't be a content creator because I don't have this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you got to work around that. And I don't see that a lot in gaming yet. I think it's because people still take it as, you know, you're on, you play video games and that's fine. But there's people out there that could, you know, be successful in the industry if they just focus on their self-growth.
Yeah.
And yeah, so... Go ahead.
When you were playing on that too, I'm just kind of curious, were you playing like natively on Mac or were you doing the thing where you play, like you switch it over to being a PC?
Yeah, I was on Windows 7.
You kind of like, okay, yeah. Because I tried to do that at one point too and it was so, I was like, you know what? This is, because it didn't work very well. Yeah. I was like, forget it.
Yeah, I also forgot to mention, on top of that, I was stuck on, you know how there's parental controls?
Yeah.
My dad would set that on 3 hours. Every time I'd log in, I would have, literally, I would like log in and I would speed race through the whole 3 hours. I'd be like, I got this to this. And then there was times where I'd try to find like ways around the system to try and play longer. But yeah, you know, like I had limitations. It's not like, you know, one day you woke up, you had a dual PC set up, 3 monitors, you know, camera, action, and you're live, right? But that's my background.
So you were playing Blackout, you know, after Islands of Nine, you started playing some Blackout. And then I believe it was around February, March or so was it when Apex came out then.
Yep.
And so is that how you kind of got involved? Because you had some experience playing competitively or, you know, trying to get competitive with some of these other games?
Yeah. That's exactly how I got involved, actually, because especially when new video games come out, there's always that built up hype. Right. And that's what I also try to focus on is that hype up. Right. If you're someone that comes from previous games and takes that skill set and transitions it into this built up hype up, then you have great potential in, you know, overcoming a lot of not just content creators, but also competitive players. So there's a lot of advantages to, you know, maintaining that skill set throughout video games.
Yeah.
No matter what it is. Yeah.
And when you went into Apex, I mean, how quickly was it before you kind of found a team to play with? And was it you reaching out to them? Did they reach out to you? Like, because this was also, if I'm not mistaken, this was before you really got into content creation.
Yeah. Yeah, this was before I got into content creation. It wasn't that hard because like PUBG, I did a lot of networking to, you know, build rosters. That's the toughest part. Finding people that are like-minded and that are open-minded and that want to play on a high level without being toxic, it's not easy, right? Yeah. So it's honestly a lot of networking. Like when I remember when Apex first came out, I had a specific group that I wanted to play with because we also come from previous games.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is when you play competitive, right? You just kind of network, especially Twitter. Twitter is huge for competitive players. Why? Because you could network with them, right? Play with your teammates from previous game. For example, for me, it was PUBG. And then you'd switch over to Apex, and that those players would usually also switch over because a new game means more potential, right? Because, for example, CSGO, when it first came out, there was a lot of potential for people to be successful in it. And those that came in first and built that skill set are the ones that really, really popped off. But slowly after, you know, when if you come 2 years later and the game is so successful, you know, it's hard for you to break through it.
Sure.
So, yeah. That's how I kind of transitioned to Apex.
And did you ever think while you've been going through all these different games, trying to get into competitive, like, were you watching any streams? Were you watching any YouTube or videos or content at all? Did it ever cross your mind? Like, oh, this is kind of an end goal, or this is something I kind of want to do, or I don't have, you know, obviously you're limited on time. You're limited on what you can do as you're going through it as well. But was that something that was in your mind?
Yeah, actually. I was inspired by Shroud. I was inspired by Ninja, actually, believe it or not, back when he played H1Z1. I was looking up to Dr. Disrespect as well. His entertaining skills was completely high level.
Sure.
In the tag, man, every time you see him trying to open a package and fail at it, that's also funny as hell.
Yeah.
We all know that. So for me, when I got into content creation, what I focused on, like I looked at Shroud and I looked at like a Dr. Disrespect and be like, look at Dr. Disrespect in the Taman Ninja's entertaining levels.
Yeah.
And then look at like Shroud's skill. Right. And then I'm trying to like find that balance, right? Because I mean, being a highly skilled player is great and all.
Sure.
But if you want to be a great content creator, you better be one hell of an entertainer as well, right?
Yeah, so, absolutely, sure.
So you need to try and balance both.
And then when you got started with it, you know, you mentioned that you've been on Facebook for a while now. But if I'm not mistaken, you started on Twitch when you first started creating.
Yep.
What was kind of your process and your first steps to getting started with it? Was it kind of like, hey, I've got this background now. Now I've got some stuff I can begin streaming, and what kind of made you choose Twitch to begin with?
Well, the reason that I actually chose Twitch is because I was with an organization back in the day for Islands of Nine called Team, Set to Destroy X. Mm. They rebranded now, but they were partnered with Twitch. So that's when I actually first got into content creation, is when I was signed to an organization. Because they tell you, you know, you need to tweet more. You got to be uploading content. Because being a competitive player, if you don't upload content, you're missing out on a lot of not just views, but a great fan base, right? Yeah. A good community that you could build after you as well. So that's when I actually first got into it. And the reason that it was Twitch, I guess, is because, I mean, when you're partnered on a platform and you have an advantage there, why not use it?
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you started to create content, I mean, how easy or difficult was it to manage that when you're really focused on being a competitive player, being a pro in that aspect?
Yeah, that was a tough one for sure, because if you're a competitive player, you're going to be gaming 8 to 10 hours of scrims. You know what I mean? Like, that is a lot of scrims. And that's where the inconsistency comes in with being a competitive player and a content creator at the same time. Is it's hard to always stream your scrims because you don't want people that are in the same tournament as you to know your strats.
Sure.
Right? So that's where the inconsistency comes in. Like, you want to show that to your community, but also if you show that to your community,
people other people
outside of that, exactly. Yeah. So, and on top of that, you would burn out if you, you know, I mean, not everybody would burn out, but there's a lot of people that would burn out from, you know, playing 10 hours, 8 hours of scrims and then playing a little bit of casual queues, to get some content out there too. Right.
Yeah.
That's every day, 7 days a week too. There's literally no days off for competitiveness. There's no days off for content creation in general.
Sure.
But it's, that's where inconsistency comes in. That's a great question. And I have yet, like for me, I was very inconsistent. I could tell you that because I was so focused on getting, you know, top placements in tournaments than I was on content creation. Content creation was more of a, you know, second idea, you know, maybe in case, let's say competitiveness fails, you could focus on content creation. That's kind of how it was. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the same way. Sorry to cut you off, but
no,
that's the same way that I saw Shroud as well. Mm. Like when Shroud first played CSGO, he did have content, but he was so focused on, you know, winning his tourneys. And I think that's what really made him shine. That's what really popped off his name. And then when he got into content, obviously he blew up like three times more because now he has his competitive viewers, but also he started doing so much content that there's so much more viewers to come in now that are not just competitive players. They're all, you know, well-rounded community from all kinds of places and communities.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And that's what I haven't had the chance to talk to too many people on the professional side. And I know just focusing on creating content alone is a lot of what I've focused on. And that's been overwhelming in terms of the amount of stuff that you're doing in general already, in terms of then you can't mix the content as well, as you're mentioning, with some of the scrims and your strategies that you don't want to leak over to whatever. So it is a really interesting balance. And so as you were competing and scrimming and doing that, was it a more gradual, or was it a harder shift into focusing specifically on streaming, content creation, and getting away from more of focusing on team and organization?
And I remember I left Team Secret. I stopped playing Apex, and I had a dual PC setup back then, but it was around 7 years old. So I made the choice of selling both and getting like a 3950X and just like basically getting one PC that is maxed out. And that's what I did. It might not sound like much, but for me, I was $4,000 in debt. I was like, you know what? I could do this. I'm gonna focus on strictly content, and I think I could pull it off. You know, this was before quarantine actually.
Mm.
Yeah. I was like, if need be, I know I can get a job and just pay it off. Quarantine hits, I was like, okay, I got no option but to go super hard on content because there's no such thing as getting a job. But basically for competitive playing and then content creation, for me personally, content creation is way more fun and it's a lot easier. You know, coming from a competitive standpoint and, you know, playing professionally, you always have to be on your A game. You always have to be, you know, you can't break under pressure. You can't be, you know, stressed out of your mind. You have to like work around that, which, you know, that's what I love. That's what I admired about competitiveness.
Right.
And that's what keeps me going for it. But when you kind of like stop that and you just focus on content creation, all that stress, all that, like basically, how do I say this right? All that pressure that you have all over you, literally from like your arms to your head to your knees, no matter what it is, it's so focused on mental health, esports, that when you have that kind of like just vanish, and you just focus on content, it's so much easier. Yes, it's going to take a lot. You know, you need to spend time on thinking of ideas to build better content, you know, be creative, always be on your A game with, you know, for me wise, I try to always be on my A game with my skill level, because I know that's how I can, you know, get someone to say, whoa, this guy's crazy, right?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's definitely a lot less stressful for me.
You know, it's interesting because I think in general, you know, I talked to a lot of people, even for myself, especially when I was first starting and getting into content creation, I felt like that was pressure, that was stressful and everything. But it's kind of interesting to hear you talking about it from like, you were kind of doing both. And so it's like you're lifting with, you know, you're lifting while also having like a heavyweight jacket on and like a backpack. And then you get to take those things off. And now you're like, all right, well, this is, you know, this content creation thing is not too bad now.
It was like an eye opener for me, honestly. I did not see myself this far with content creation.
Sure.
But I see this, you know, I can use this example as a workout, right? Mm-hmm. You could put in a bunch of time in and you'd be the most shredded person in the gym. But the second you kind of stop, right? You fall off consistency.
Sure.
Then you would definitely start slacking and you start gaining some fat. That's the way I've always seen content creation. It's all about consistency. And if you're not consistent and you're not on your A game still, then it's hard for you to grow, for sure.
Did you have anything that stands out for you in terms of bigger breaks or areas where you really started to see more growth as you've been going through this, whether that was your switch over from Twitch or, you know, any part in this journey?
The hardest switch for me was from Apex Legends into Warzone when I sold my dual PC setup and went maxed out on this piece. Because one, I was stressed out financially because of, especially when COVID hit. And two, because I didn't know where I'd, like, I couldn't see myself in 3 years. Like, I don't know where I'd be in 3 years. I mean, not 3 years, 3 months, right? Sure. That's the time span that I had. I actually financed the PC. So that's what I focused on. And like, content wise, I just kind of, I found people that were kind of on a similar mindset as me, right? Mm-hmm. Let's focus wins. Let's focus on, you know, communication, because like, I wanted to really focus on what's appealing to the viewer.
Yeah.
Right. Many viewers out there, when they play the game, they're quiet. So communication was a big key for me. You know, I'd be like, oh, this is how you're supposed to talk to your teammate in a game, you know, not just, you know, COD, you know, just craft talk in a sense.
And that's definitely a differentiator, especially at a high level play, great communication, playing together. And do you think that resonated with people as they're tuning in? And when you are streaming on Facebook, like, did you see that as something where people are like, oh wow, this is different, and people saying that in the chat?
Oh yeah. You see Twitch, I've like, there's a lot of people that are mouse and keyboard. Facebook, it's like, there's a great ratio of console players. So for someone, like, for example, for me, when I think about a console player, it's someone like, yes, it is competitive, but at the same time, well, when I played console, at least, I would be on for like, you know, 2 hours, you know, playing some COD with the boys, you know, IRL homies, you know, it's nothing serious. It's just casual. But when you have someone like me who has competitive experience coming on Facebook, and, you know, people are like, who is this guy? You know, oh, he's mouse and keyboard. Easier. Oh, he's hacking. Oh, he's not on controller. It makes no sense. It's different, I think, for them, at least. A lot of them, you know, they're surprised by the abilities that you could have in video games. And I like that, to be honest. I like the fact that the age group is also, you know, 27 to like 30 years old, like 27 to 35. They're, like, the age group is not the same as Twitch. Twitch is more of the young ones. Facebook, it's, I see it more mature. And, you know, that's why I admire the platform. That's one of the reasons.
And did you play Apex at all when you were streaming on Facebook as well? Or did you just focus?
My first, I think, month was only on Apex. The reason that I got into Facebook is because of Soltech. Soltech, me and him, we have the same manager. They said, hey, Yusuf, you know, this platform, it's, you know, Facebook has potential. And I was like, you know what? I'll give it a shot. Back then, Soltech recently was actually, signed with Facebook.
Sure.
So I was happy for him. I was like, damn, man, this is huge.
Yeah.
And that's when I actually first heard about Facebook gaming. I had no idea how to stream. I had no idea how to do anything. I was like, you know what, Soltech? If you really want me to get on this platform, just teach me this and I'll do it. I'm like, because I was not consistent on Twitch. I had maybe 10 viewers, 15 viewers, right?
Sure.
My highest peak on Twitch was like 120. But I remember my first week on Facebook, I had like 30 viewers.
Wow.
That's first week. Yeah. I'm like, this is crazy. And I wasn't even that, like, I was consistent four days a week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, it's crazy. The growth is just unreal.
And was that consistent as you were streaming and kept on streaming on it? Were you still streaming on Twitch as well or throwing any of those in? Or did you just see some numbers and you're like, you know what, this is where I'm going to start focusing and then started going from there?
For me, something I believe in is if I'm going to do something, I'm going to focus on just that thing. So I didn't do Twitch when I did Facebook because I was like, if I'm going to focus on Facebook and I see, you know, people having 10,000 viewers, I'm going to look at those guys, see what they're doing, right? You know, research the platform, see how it could grow and, you know, take it from there. So that's what I focused on.
And then how did your strategy change then from, you know, playing Apex to Warzone? Was that just the game coming out? Did you jump on board right away and try and, you know, like you did with other games, bring your skill level over? Was that kind of what you went for with that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I went for, actually. Warzone, they announced it. Like, it's been 7 months since they announced it, actually. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But, I decided to get on the hype train early because the way I see it, and I look at it in a chart sense, right? When if game first comes out, you'll see the chart go rocketing through the roof, right?
Sure.
And then slowly after, you know, 6 months later, depending on the game too, you'll see it slowly coming down, right? Mm-hmm. So I try to get in right before that initial rocket.
Sure.
So, yeah.
Hopefully doing the same with Cold War then is the plan.
Yeah, yeah, that's what my main focus is. Like Warzone and Apex were my first two games that I've actually focused on content creation.
Sure.
So, you know, skill-wise, I'm still developing my content creation skills.
Yeah.
And I'm using whatever I have from Warzone and from Apex, or everything that I've learned, to just go super hard in Cold War.
And is there anything that you've learned through, you know, some of those transitions and games that you've played that you wish you would have told, like, if you could go back and tell yourself to do better, to do differently, is there anything you've picked up along the way or anything you'd tell yourself?
Oh, yeah. In Apex Legends, I was invited to the Invitational in Poland. I don't know if you've heard about that. We were going to compete. I was with Team Secret. And unfun fact, I had my plane ticket booked. Like, I had everything booked. I checked in too online. But here's the problem. My passport, okay, expires in less than 3 months. So when I actually showed up on the day of my flight, right, I sat down at the gate waiting for my plane to come. And the flight got canceled. And that's what first surprised me. And I said, you know what? This is fine. Let me just go get another, you know, ticket, you know, get another ticket and just go straight to another plane and, just, you know, show up maybe an hour later,
yeah,
which is not a problem, right? We showed up maybe 3 days before. Anyways, I go to check in at the check-in counter, not online this time. And the check-in agent says that your passport, because you're traveling to Poland, your passport needs to have at least 6 months.
Oh, wow.
Before it expires. So I did not get a chance to go. So if I'm ever going to tell myself something, it's to go back to that day, completely renew my passport, and actually have a chance to compete at that LAN. Because it was a great LAN. But yeah, we had to like scrap through like a random sub. We had to, oh my God, it was something.
Wow.
But that's the main like regret that I have.
And as you've been doing this too, you know, so would you consider yourself a streaming for more consistently for just this year as you've been on Facebook? Like, would you consider yourself streaming when you were doing some on Twitch as well and kind of messing around with that? I'm just curious.
Yeah, of course. So Twitch for me, I was not the most consistent. I didn't go super hard on it, right? Because whenever I was on Twitch, and this happens to a lot of professional players too, or even competitive players, is when you get signed to an org, they're most likely partnered with Twitch. The chances of you getting verified too are there. So, you know, you're going to be like, oh, okay, so I'm verified, right? But your focus is still going to be to compete and scrim and be at the top level, right? But when I came to Facebook, that shifted my mentality in a sense, because Facebook is newer. You know, you're starting from pure scratch. The only person that I knew was Soltech, you know? So you're going into this place and you're like, okay, you know, I need to focus more on this platform because I don't know too much about it, right? Twitch, you know about it. So for me, you know, I didn't take it as serious.
Sure.
With content creation too, I wasn't the most consistent. But Facebook, I was like, okay, so I need to learn this. You know, every day I would basically wake up and just learn something new about Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Just so you know, I have never, well, maybe when I was like maybe 10, 15 years ago, I've had a Facebook account.
Sure.
I've never used it. The past 10 years, I haven't touched Facebook.
Sure.
So coming into Facebook gaming, I had a lot to learn. And so that's what my main focus was. And the reason I say that shifted my mindset is because whenever, you know, I wake up every day and learn something new about the platform, that made me say, okay, now I know this. Let me go ahead and stream. You know, oh, now I know this. I'm going to, you know, stream this day too. So then that is what really started helping me build up that consistency. And when I actually got a chance to build it and have a consistent viewer base as well,
yeah,
that's when I was like, okay, I got to take this a lot more serious.
What do you think has been one of the biggest lessons that you've learned as you've been doing all of this?
The biggest lesson is because, like, when I first saw initial growth, I would average, I think it was 2,000 viewers. That's like 2 to 3K, which was my peak, which was insane. But what I did, because I was so hyped, is I would stream 12 hours a day. And what I learned really fast is you will burn out. So it's like, I talked to my dad. He's like, Yusuf, you need to take a day off. I don't care how much you love what you're doing. Take a day off, at least one day, even if it's after, like, every 2 weeks, you know, just maybe even 30 minutes just for yourself. I had no time for myself. It was always, you know, just doing content, talking to my, but like, if I'm not streaming, I'm with my buddies, just, you know, chilling, having a good time. I never really had time for myself. And you get to learn that quickly, because when you don't have time for yourself, you start burning out quick. And when that happens, that's when the inconsistency comes in, for me at least. So then, you know, that's where you're like, okay, I need to take a step back, rearrange everything, and, you know, hey, you know, fight this from a different angle, you know, fight my inconsistency from a different angle. And that's where I'm at now. I'm coming back into it. I'm, you know, trying to find different ways to, you know, that's why before I had never had a schedule. Sure. I would just get on and play. But now it's like, okay, this is my schedule. Get on this time to this and do that. And then after that, you know, do a little bit of YouTube, do a little bit of that. And it's been a lot more convenient for sure. Schedule is important.
Well, it's definitely, it's awesome to see what you're doing. It's awesome to see your gameplay as well. Appreciate you joining on the podcast today. Any final thoughts or where is the best place for people to go and check you out if they want to hear more?
If you guys want to hear more, I'm always, well, not always, 5 days a week, I'm live on fb.gg/YOUSIFFPS. That's really the best place to reach me. Final thoughts is thank you for having me on this podcast. I appreciate that. It's been great listening and talking with someone like you who's been a content creator for so many years.
Yeah.
Every day I wake up, I see a new story post. Stone Mountain crushed his feet.
Yeah.
Round three.
Yeah, definitely, man. No, it's exciting to chat with you, and I'm excited to see where you keep going with everything. Appreciate you coming in.
You too, man. You too. Yeah.
Thanks. And if you guys want to listen to some more podcasts as well, you can always find it at pipeline.gg/podcasts. Check out Yusuf, and thanks so much for listening.
Pipeline all the way.